Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Satisfied God Podcast. This is Raven Bird back with you. Thanking you again for taking the time out of your day, out of your commute or whatever you're doing to listen to these episodes. It's a pleasure to know that you are out there. It's always a pleasure to hear from you also. So if you haven't communicated with me by whatever means, text, email, phone calls, feel free to do so. Those are always encouraging and helpful to me to know that you guys are really enjoying this. And not only that, but to hear how the Lord is actually taking these things and directing your heart to see Christ and what the Lord is actually doing in your heart. And it's always a pleasure to know that that is taking place. So thanks again for that. Today, I have my good friend, buddy, pal, lunatic club member, John Cassura. He's back with us. I promised you the last time. The audio is probably not going to be that great, guys, and I apologize for that. I'm not high-tech, and John's the high-tech guy, and he's not here to help me. So it's not a high-tech outfit here, so you're probably not going to hear him all that great because I'm trying to do a two-side recording and it's only really picking up one side. So you're going to have to maybe turn your radio up to hear. I'm turning him up as loud as I can so that we can hear him because I'm just going to let him fly and interject here and there. So, John, I appreciate you being with me again, man. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, Raven, it's a joy doing this Skype with you here. Glad we got the means to do this. And just a joy being with you in on this because you're in on this, man.
Yeah.
This ain't I'm not soloing this.
How do you know?
I'm depending on you to jump in at any time, you know.
Well, I'll do that when I feel like the heresy is getting way too deep. I'll jump in from time to time. No.
You see me flying upside down, or it tells me, bail me out.
Well, this is just, see, John and I get on the phone, and this is what we do. We just talk and share, and a lot of times I wish we had it recorded when we're just on the phone talking, because those are some of our best conversations. And some of our best conversations have been in this living room at 11 and 12 o'clock at night, just sharing out of our heart. But, you know, those things, you don't just record things. We don't walk around recorders. let's capture this. But it's always a pleasure to have John. I know every time I hear John speak what I'm going to hear, and I'm going to hear Christ. And that's what I want those who are listening to these podcasts or listening to this podcast. That's what I want you guys to hear. I don't want you to hear instructions, some kind of formula and methods. As we talked the last time, those methods are of the devil. Those are methodologies that man tries to invent to fulfill the lust of his own flesh. And that's what we do not want here. We want to declare the simplicity, the supremacy of Christ. And that's what I know John's going to declare. And so, John, just take it from here, man.
Okay, I just want to just say one thing. It's just a blessing to have the fellowship here that we do have, Raven.
Absolutely.
Because it's we're on the same page. And because to me, God only has one page, and that page is called Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
The Amen. Lord Christ and Him crucified. And that's about it. And anyway, as we were talking, Raven, what I'm going to be sharing here will be basically coming from Matthew 11, 27 through 30. And I know that I'm kind of like a broken record on this, but the Lord won't. He seems to just drawing me back into this in a greater way as concerning rest for your soul. And let me just go ahead and read this. I'm going to just read this so that we'll have a foundation to work off of here. Okay, we're doing Matthew 11, 27 through 30. I'm gonna do verse 25 through verse 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now, there we're talking about intellectualism.
Yes.
You know, this isn't an intellectual session concerning just learning things and just coming up with things, whether to have them or to understand them. And if people fall in this wise and prudent situation, and God can hide something, he hides things from those who are in that realm. And he goes on and says, because the Lord is saying, because he's thanking the Father, because I was hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. And I just made a note of this, Raven, here from Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's amazing that, you know, just from the scripture here, that you go from a little child to the greatest.
Yeah.
See, because, and mm-hmm. you know, I relate that to John 10:2, where Jesus says this, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, you come by the door, all of a sudden, it's another life altogether.
Absolutely.
It's the greatest life.
Yeah.
It's not just you got some life, you're coming into the life.
Yes.
Which is Christ.
Amen to that.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, God knows you in a total different way. From, you know, he knows you in the greatest way he can know you. And all of a sudden, it's just the shepherd of the sheep. It's that view that, you know, you were talking about with that prophet Balaam. Or is that what you shared one time out of Samuel there where, I forget the guy.
It's out of Numbers. It was it's talking about Balaam who he took on the top of the mountain and saw the encampment of Israel.
Yeah, and you were sharing that.
Yeah.
And how every time he tried to curse Israel, he wound up blessing them. In fact, he just finally just, you know, said, hey, we don't even have to pray about this no more.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You don't have to pray about it.
Right.
This is the way it is. This is reality. We don't have to, you know, try to deal, you know, there's nothing to pray about here. This is Christ.
It's an absolute. So, it doesn't change. And that's the thing, John, and I don't want to interrupt you here, but that's the thing. That's the whole point of this hidden from the wise and prudent that I think is missing in most people's understanding. It's not if you're a smart person, God's going to hide this. It's if you attempt to know what is divine, what is of God, what is spirit.
Right.
In the realm in which the natural mind operates, then that reality is already hidden from you. Because it's not found there. And the catalyst for most of our praying is to get God to bring what is above into the realm of the earth so that we can comprehend it, understand it, apply it to ourselves, and become whatever evidence of it that we think we can become. Does that make sense? So that's why so many of our prayers, it's like what you said, there wouldn't any longer a matter of prayer for this guy because he'd seen something greater than,
right.
And he knew, why am I don't even have to approach God and ask him what his mind is now. I see his mind now. And that's the beauty of it. That's beyond natural mind because a natural mind's going to obsess over looking at a natural man, and there's always questions there. So we're always approaching God with, how do you look at it today, God? Because I know I messed up yesterday. How do you look at this? How do you look at that today? Well, it never changes. It's like you said, he has one page and it's called Christ, and that's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Amen. And And the Lord is just saying here, hey, in using this analogy or this comparison between, you know, the natural mind versus somebody who's, you know, seeking the Lord himself.
Yeah.
You know, just the Lord himself, not come up with some kind of a natural understanding, but just right to the heart of the matter, the person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's called, and he used that term babe in the interlinear, it's infants. I mean, you got to just kind of humble yourself, come on down from that plateau of humanity.
Yeah.
And the deception that's there of, you know, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we could really get into that. But he says, he goes on and says, wise and has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me by of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will deliver him. And in the context of that, here comes Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the interlinear here, it says, come unto me, all the ones laboring and have been burdened, and I will rest you.
Hmm. Wow.
That's the way it's, I will rest you. And then he goes on here, and take the yoke of me on you and learn from me, not from somebody else. This is and this is really directly related to Ephesians. Let me see, where did I see that? It's in Ephesians 4. I think you were saying, I think you brought this out on your last video, Ephesians 4, where it says, you have not so learned Christ,
yeah.
But if you have, if you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, you know, this is what it's saying here. Learn from me.
Absolutely.
It's from him, literally him. This is a him thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit revealing him. And that's what this, how come this whole thing is prefaced by God revealing his Son?
Yes.
Because in this learning process is not a human type thing, as far as, you know, I'm going to Bible school and I've got 4 years and finally I'm going to come out with a degree. No, it's God revealing his Son in you, and the Son is the decree. Is the decree and the...
Both ways. Decree and the degree.
Yeah. Of God
in
your very soul. So that's what it's talking about here. Just hearing him, learning him, and that, he says, is... It, and let me go ahead and read that through. And I'm right there, and learn from me, because meek I am and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your soul. And then it says, for the yoke of me is gentle, and the burden of me is light. Now, what I'm going to just make a statement here, and everybody could just, you know, I just want to make this statement, because when Jesus says come to him in both ways here, now this is a two-part coming. One is the initial coming in salvation, the new birth. He will rest you at the new birth, give you rest in the King James. The other part is the revealing of the one who has come in you. And this is growth in Christ. not by a third person here, but by Jesus himself, says, this is all about rest for your soul. I will rest you. You will find rest unto your soul. And so, as far as Christ is concerned, I don't think this, you can take this anywhere in the scripture and it will hold true. Mm-hmm. It will hold true in Genesis right away. When God created everything, you know, and all the 6 days are over, on the seventh day he rested.
Yep.
And God blessed that day and sanctified it. From there he finished all his work, and all through what Paul is declaring here is that Christ is rest to your soul. I mean, you know, and the gospel, they're all declaring that same thing. And the climax of this rest is like John 17 when Jesus prays before he goes to the cross, this is why I'm going.
Yeah.
You can just sum it up, rest for your soul. Because, you know, I and them, thou and me, that you would, you know, that they may be one, you know, even as we are. I mean, now that's some kind of rest. You know, this is rest that's exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And the thing about this rest is that it's in an unseen realm. You can't see this with your natural eyes. This is what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where he says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, things that are not seen are eternal. So this rest for your soul, Jesus here, when you come to him, you don't see him with your natural eyes. This is a coming of your soul, you know, to Christ.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of Christ comes into your soul. It's an unseen realm right from the get-go.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this question because I think people...
Go ahead.
Well, I think people need to understand this part of it.
Right.
Where is this rest truly experienced? Where is this rest truly known? And the reason I ask that, and I'm asking you this, because here in the context of what Jesus is saying, he's speaking of religious labor, being burdened with religious effort, zealous effort, as Paul says. However, there is no real rest because what they are after has never been able to be achieved.
Amen.
And it's because it's achieved in someone else. It's achieved in another man, and he's there presenting himself as that. So my question is, that's that context. But what we want to do in Christianity today is try to bring it into the earth and say, this is where it's going to be experienced. And right. We talk about rest or peace or any of those things. And I think we contextualize it more in the realm of what the scriptures talk about with rest for your soul being really rest from yourself, rest from self-effort, rest from the lust of your flesh, because it's no longer a desire to achieve something. It's beholding him as the achievement of all things that God intended. So what I'm asking, this is a long question, isn't it? What I'm asking is, are we wrong or looking, are we amiss when we're looking to find that rest in the daily exercises of daily living?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are. That's a come I stated. This is a total unseen realm.
Yeah.
You can't see this with your natural eyes. You can't touch it. This is something that is totally in your soul. This takes place. This is not an external thing. This is totally an internal rest where the soul is brought to rest from its striving to, like you say, from the external exercises of religion.
Right.
You know, and all the things that go with it, trying to, you know, find perfection in the flesh. See, and you know, the Galatians church started out in the spirit, but they wound up trying, they took that, and then they started to try to find that rest for their soul in the external, that you need to do this, that, or another thing. And pretty soon, they wound up under the curse of themselves. What is that? Well, that's trying to fulfill a law you can't fulfill.
Right.
You're not the fulfillment of it. And just the law is there to show that you can't fulfill it. If you try to fulfill it, then you got to fulfill it all. That's called the curse of the law. You just bring yourself under the curse. I just say you bring yourself under the curse of yourself because, hey, you're trying to do something that can't be done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you can call it the curse of the law, but and the Lord does that when he goes to the cross. He says he's redeemed us from under the curse of the law because he was made a curse for us at the cross. And we could get into that, and this is what this is really going toward. But I just keep it in the context because I see it so I just wanted to bring out that this is not an intellectual thing. This is not an external thing. This is totally internal. Jesus had all the external he could ever want before he went to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were following him, they were flipped out cold, you know, on following Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all the blessings, and you can get fed, you can get healed, you got this and you got that. Man, he could have summed it up right there. You know, I mean, you know, he could have got a big, and he did have a big following. But when he starts to, see, but he could never give anybody rest for their soul in the external realm.
Yeah.
It cannot happen.
Because that's tied up with not what he did for them, but who he would be in them.
Amen.
And he couldn't do that.
He could not do that. So the whole cross episode had to come into play, because if he's going to bring a soul to rest, like he's talking about, come to me so that you can really, I can rest you so that I can be made unto you what you can't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has to go to the cross so that he could not just walk alongside these people and have them following him like God was walking along in the garden with Adam,
right,
in the cool of the day. But there was a purpose for that, and it was to bring them under the tree of life, which they didn't do. But so he's walking along with them again, you know, with man again.
Yeah.
But this time he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to take them there whether they like it or not. See, and that's the thing about God, you know, and Paul keeps saying this, who can instruct God?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to instruct him? Well, he's saying, hey, this is what I did this for, and this is what I'm going to do to make this, bring this to a reality and a completion. So he goes to the cross, and whether you're following him or not, he's taking you there in himself. And whether you were there in flesh or you were there, and he brought you there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the reality of himself, when he gathered together every man, past, present, future, all of humanity in himself, brought him to death. So that's the place where he's bringing everything to rest there.
Yeah.
He's bringing mankind to an end and bringing forth a new creation in himself. But now he's gone from the outside to totally inside, because he has to go to the cross to bring this into a person, like who would receive him, as many as would receive him, to them gave he.
Yeah.
You know, but so he's going there to make this an inside thing that you cannot observe with your natural eyes. And he's going to bring rest to this soul, because he's going to bring this soul into a relationship with himself, where it's not the soul's flesh identity at all that it once had. It's going to be a not I but Christ relationship with himself. And that's the way he's, and And that's rest for our souls is along those lines. And so with that, see, I call, you know, this, you know, the purpose of God.
Yeah.
It's the purpose, because Jesus is just saying, okay, if you come to me, what do you, and people come up, and Raven, you've heard this so much, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's in it for me? See, now that's the point. I'm getting to this, and I'm getting back into it. What's in it? Rest for your soul, man. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
That, now, see, because we want to have faith without love, and it just doesn't work to have it. Faith worketh by love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith, they all abide, but the greatest is love. And out of love, I was just reading something about Einstein. He just said something that, he says, you know, he learned how to play the violin. He says, you know what? It's a whole lot easier to do things out of love than duty.
Yeah, right.
See what I mean? Love is the motivating factor here.
Now, when you talk about love, explain to the people who are listening here that probably have heard every false definition of love the church has out there. Explain to them what you're talking about.
When Jesus is talking about love here, he speaks totally of himself. I just want to just say that, and him, and he's going to bring you into love, but he couldn't do that before the cross. Because he could show them some external things, but he himself was the love of God. And he wants to bring these folks into that John 17 relationship. And there is where you see what he's talking about. He's going to bring you into relationship with God concerning defined like in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Where it says, of God are you in Christ, who's made unto you wisdom. And because of that righteousness, sanctification, somebody is going to be made unto you what you can't be.
Right.
And you know, so when he's talking about you're going to find rest for your soul when you learn of me and hear from me, you're going to find out that your relationship with God is totally me and nothing else.
Yeah.
Because of the cross excluded everything else but me.
Yeah.
That's the come when Jesus says, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because if you come to God, I'm going to bring you to God with no other relationship with God but me. Now, Raven, this is the real problem in Christianity. See, we come up with this term, you know, you need a personal relationship with Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate it.
A personal relationship with Jesus. Well, all of a sudden, you've got millions of people having their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well.
And with that comes all the assessments of saying, is it good enough? Is it
right.
good enough? And trying to make it better. However, yeah, that's ridiculous.
My personal relationship with God is better than your personal relationship with God. And we're in this movement. Now we're going to have another, we're going to form another denomination.
Right.
You know, and then that denomination, okay, we can all agree on this personal relationship with God as a group. Then
right.
you have another group over here, you know, they've got their personal relationship with God based on these things.
Yeah.
So you've got a body that's divided asunder, you know, in so many parts.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's whole declaration in 1 Corinthians is saying, whoa, boys, you know, this ain't the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And he says, let me just get myself out of the picture here right away so you won't think this is about me. Was Paul crucified for you? Did I baptize? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see, he's trying to get them out of, hey, this ain't a personal relationship with Paul that's going to get you anything.
And this is the love of God here that you're talking about.
I'm talking about it because I'm coming to this little statement. It's not, our personal relationship with him. It's his personal relationship with us, Raven.
Yeah.
He's got a personal relationship with us that's the same always.
Right.
And it's Christ in you, the hope, the fulfillment, the fullness of glory.
Because
we all have the same personal
absolutely.
Relationship with God, and it's based on the person.
Yes.
That's how come it's personal.
Yeah.
And it's really, 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 God got really, really, really personal with us at the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about personal, nobody's ever, you know, become the last Adam. How
right.
about that?
Yeah.
You know, become the first man.
Right.
And he just became sin, you know, became all this and bringing it to death in himself. Now, I call that personal.
Yeah.
God's having a personal relationship with mankind.
Very much.
Here.
Very
you
much.
Know,
yeah.
to the end of mankind, to bringing forth a new creation in himself, whereby they can find rest for their souls. You know what I mean?
Isn't
where
that...
He is the rest himself.
And isn't that what the scriptures speak of as the love of God shed abroad in our hearts?
Amen.
That's the same as Christ in you.
Christ revealed in you.
That's the shed abroad of the love of God in our hearts. That's
and
him.
It's him. Whether I know it or not after I'm born again.
Absolutely.
Because this is God's personal relationship with you.
Yep.
He didn't care what you and I thought, Raven, when he went to the cross.
No.
After you come to him, he's not interested in what you and I think about his salvation after you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought a whole thing, a whole series on that out of the book of Galatians where Paul says, not that you know God, but you're known of God.
Right.
You know, the whole thing you were saying there. You know, this is what I'm getting at here. It's no different, but I'm just saying it. Hey, folks, and I'm really sincerely meaning this to those who hear this. This is all about rest for your soul, man. It's really love. It's really a Sabbath rest.
Yes,
where
is.
You can cease from your own works as God did for his. You know, and that whole thing and I'm just talking, Raven.
No, go
you know,
ahead, man.
In Hebrews, you know, that whole thing about, you know, unbelief.
Turn,
they couldn't. It's all about, hey, you missed the rest.
Turn to that and deal with that for a little bit if you can.
Well, okay, here. Let me turn to it in this book here because this is going to be a little quicker.
To me, this really gets to it.
You know, of course, you know, you have expounded on this a lot from this one verse here in Hebrews, and I just got through mentioning this a little while ago, Hebrews 4, verse 1. But it's therefore fear, at least, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, over here, you know, this word seem,
mm-hmm.
you know, you said, hey, it's... You come into this thought pattern of man because of, man, just how, Raven, you know, we come all from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And we're so external in our knowing of God that somebody brings in something external that they think is necessary other than the person of Christ in you. And all of a sudden, they make us seem that we've come short of what God wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But all God ever wanted was his son from the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, and this whole thing here, chapter 3 and through 4 here, and but I was sharing about this one time, that the whole deal about unbelief, you know, you'd think that would be something... You know, like some serious sin, or they did something that was just, you know, you kill somebody, or you know, they, unbelief. What is unbelief? And it's connected to not entering into rest.
And it's not entering into his rest.
His rest.
His rest.
His rest. That's, thank you for that. But it's all about rest.
Yes.
It's rest for your soul. Absolutely. Not entering into what God has prepared for you before the foundation of the world that Paul talks about, where you can come into being blessed with every spiritual blessing, knowing that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You don't have to look for any more spiritual blessings on the external.
Yeah.
It's all in you in Christ. And my thing is here is that we start, you know, like the Galatians did. They started in the spirit, rest. They were at rest. Then somebody came in and disturbed that rest, because all of a sudden it became external instead of internal.
Right.
Christ revealed in you, you know, as your only relationship with God and the only personal relationship God will ever have with you.
Right.
To the point where it's cross. The cross is entered there. There, it's a perpetual cross relationship with him.
Right.
Not I, but Christ is my life with God. Of God are you in Christ, who has been made unto you these things that you could never be.
Right.
See, and all of a sudden, now you can you're experiencing love totally independent of an outward experience. See, and that's what's important, because all these outward experiences rise and fall with political systems, with financial problems, with, you know, blessings or no blessings, you know, and the comparison between one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody wants something more than rest for their soul. You know what I mean? Now I've got an agenda.
Right.
Saying, I don't have an agenda. I know you don't have an agenda.
No.
All I got's the only agenda God has is rest for your soul, man.
That's it.
You know, he don't have another agenda for you. See, this is what I'm trying to say here, because I've seen so many people, they hear that, but all of a sudden, they want more than that. There is nothing more than that.
No, that's everything.
Because that is Christ in you.
I will rest you. Yeah.
I will rest you. Meaning what? I'm going to bring you into a perfect relationship with God that's exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And that's to come here. This whole thing is preppers with God revealing his son in you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to think this out, because you didn't think out the new birth. It just happened. I didn't think it out. I mean, all I know was, hey, you know, boy, I was in death and darkness, and here comes light and life.
Yep.
Hey, you know, and I'm looking at the word just in total desperation. Who's going to help me with death and darkness?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't interested in, you know, E equals MC squared, so to speak. I mean, I wasn't interested in good things, bad things, you know, theology. I never even heard the word new birth.
Right.
But I was coming to the new birth because I was coming to Jesus. And he is the new birth. And all of a sudden Christ happens. Okay, now death and darkness is gone. And I see that, wow, hey, he rested me.
Yes.
But I didn't even know it. I didn't even know that at that time that was that. He had given me rest.
But whether you knew it or not, it was just real either way, regardless of your knowledge of it. Regardless.
Amen.
Regardless.
Because it never started out as my personal relationship with God.
That's
it was his personal relationship with me, which he knew all about.
Yep.
He knows it from the beginning of time when he planned it in the person. You know, he planned it in the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He, you know, and Jesus is there as the beginning of it.
And here's how theologically deep you have to get for this to and really, this is how, regardless, if you can come to the point where you can actually say it or expound it or whatever, here's how deep it is at its core. All I know is this. I once was blind, and now I see. When they asked the blind man who Jesus healed, they said, what has happened? What's all this? He said, I don't know, but all I know is this. Wherein I was blind, now I see. That's it. And that's the rest that comes. I know this. I was blind, now I see. I was dead, now he's my life. I was as pitiful as pitiful could be, and now he's made unto me all things. Now that is how deep it gets. But that's perfect.
And see, and that's God's personal relationship with us.
Yes. It's not based on us at all.
Not based on us. He knew better.
Yeah.
You know? We don't know better because we still think, you know, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're holding some kind of ace in up our sleeve. Yeah. And it turns out to be the Joker, you know? And you know, we're going to try to call it an ace, but it turns out to be just more death and darkness.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we want to look into the face of death and darkness and expect light and life, and it ain't there.
Right.
We get disappointed, discouraged. And then we, you know, look at somebody or look at ourselves and, you know, and we're having an expectation that is false. And man, what a rude awakening it is when you wake up and you've got an Ishmael or an albatross tied around your neck.
Yes.
You know, and the effects of that, you know, the effects of Ishmaels, you know, I created this.
Yep.
Now you've deceived a lot of people, man. Becomes a deception. And, you know, and that ain't going to hold up, man. That'll find you out down the road. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, in this Hebrews 4 here, just in, you know, I shared this one time because I just kind of read the whole thing, that unbelief deals with not entering into his rest.
Right.
It's not like, you know, I've got a heresy that, boy, man, you know, this is really some weird thing. No, what it amounts to is you've not entered into his rest. And but in reality, the fact of the matter is, you know, it's almost like Israel, when they went into that little house before they left Egypt, the whole thing took place right there where God saw him as, this is my son.
Yep.
This is my son.
Yep.
Let him go. You're dealing with my son here. And he looked at that whole group of people like Balaam looked at. He had to look at he was looking at a person there, not Israel.
Right.
I saw him, like you were saying, you know, in that valley when they were encamped. This is my son. But see, when they came to, you know, that's like the new birth. But when they came to saying, you know, what does this mean? And enter into the land, they refused to go in.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to come into a comprehension, an experience the actual salvation that they entered into back in Egypt.
Right.
So,
right.
Man, you got a whole wilderness wandering. Because you wander, you just wind up wandering into the wilderness of mankind, trying to find only what's in Christ.
Yes.
And you just die off in the wilderness. And many Christians do that. But see, they never come to rest for your soul. And this is what really amazed me. It took me 10 years, Raven. That's a come I'm on this.
Yeah.
To come to, this is about, and I didn't even know what it was at the time. I hadn't got, it took another, I know, 20 or before God labeled it. He labeled it. This was rest for your soul. And I said, my God, that's the name of it.
Yep.
See, I always get it and then find out what it is, you know? Okay, I'm born again. Then I find out, okay, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Okay, now here's the appearing of Christ. Well, you know, okay. And I'm like, oh, man, that's love. That's rest for your soul, man.
Yeah.
And God's serious. He's dead serious about it.
Yeah.
He went to the cross to bring that. That's when I say he's dead serious. He didn't care about your circumstances.
Right.
He didn't care how you feel.
Right.
He wants to bring you to rest for your soul, take you from the external to the internal. And a lot of times, it happened to me, he put me in a tight spot where all of a sudden, the external kept falling apart, and the walls kept closing in, you know, and the external just, I couldn't find anything in the external, and I tried to. Well, if you think this is, you know, and my righteousness was this, all of a sudden he touched it, and he said, now, that's off the board.
Yeah.
Where's your righteousness now?
Yeah, where is it?
Now I've touched this. This proves you're not righteous.
Yep.
You're right. Then you'll touch this. Now, what are you going to do about that? This was your righteousness. Now, I brought that to an end. Where is your righteousness?
Yeah, when it keeps moving on you like that, you know you have a situation.
You got a situation when things start really falling through and you start trying to make you're doing a juggling act. You're just trying to do a... Well, pretty soon the wire's getting so thin it's cutting through your feet. You can't walk that tightrope no more.
Right.
You know? And then you say, hold it, Toyota. You know?
I love it. Hold it, Toyota.
Something's wrong with this picture. And Paul came to that.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and you do come to that, see, because I started out in the spirit big, big time.
Sure.
Wound up in the flesh, perfecting the flesh, and I was going to show everybody in the universe, not just the earth,
right,
that, man, you know, I really love Jesus, and boy, I'm living my life for God and all that. But then he started to say, ho, 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 man, you know, let's see, and he started to deal with that. And he started to narrow things down to whereby I couldn't find righteousness on the external. When I came to the place where Paul did, where I was saying, when I'm doing good, evil's present with me.
Sure. Yeah.
See, so, you know, you're getting to a place where, you know, the external isn't the answer.
Right.
And God will deal with that. The external isn't the answer to this. To what you're looking for.
And the thing is, like you said, we begin in the spirit, and we begin in the rest of God.
Right.
And Paul was not addressing their state as far as he knew that they were in Christ. He knew their condition was the perfection of Christ.
Amen.
He knew that the life that they truly had was Christ and the righteousness they truly had was Christ. They didn't know it.
They did.
But they possessed it nonetheless. And that's the point. The moment we're born again, the rest of God is a settled issue because the person of God's rest is in us. The person of God's delight, satisfaction, all of that dwells in the soul. But the reason we're still trying, because you can begin in the spirit, but never see the spirit.
Amen.
And therefore, you're trying to make what is spirit evidenced in the flesh. And that is never going to happen. And you'll never find rest because rest, I think you said it earlier, rest is found without any, when you see a reality that has no reference point in flesh at all.
Right.
Whereas Christ all in all.
See, Christ is the author of this and he's the finisher of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No man is.
Yeah.
No man is. Come on, I'll just keep going back to, like, you know, it's in an unseen realm.
Yep.
And it's totally Christ, and he's the author and the finisher. He's the author of it in the new birth, and he's the finisher of it in God revealing his son in you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so even in this Matthew part here that we've been reading where Paul, I'll give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the author of it. All of a sudden, he's the author, but he's also the finisher. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and see what I mean? He's the finisher of it.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's ever going to be attained in the external realm, but the problem here, Raven, is we come to Christ, and it's truly spirit. Man, it was just totally spirit. I knew it. My, here's big contrast, death and darkness. Here's light and life. But all of a sudden, just because of our first birth and religion or Christianity as it is, where all the external things become the emphasis.
Right.
And it's subtle. They'll say this, but that. They add this and add this. You have to do this and this. And then you've got all kinds of things coming in like, well, Jesus is going to come. Well, what that distracts you from the reality of Christ in you. And then we're going to do this for Christ. And so we're doing this for Christ so that we can please God. And your book comes in there,
yeah.
You know, knowing the we're going to try to satisfy God out here in the external when God is fully already satisfied with his son in us.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point of saying, hey, it's finished, folks. Enjoy this. And out of this will come everything that I want.
Right.
It will bring forth praise and worship. You know, it'll bring forth the exalted son.
Yeah.
It'll bring forth, you know, hey, faith will work by this love which is Christ in you. And it's a peace and a rest. You're rested. Okay. And it becomes a motivation. This becomes a motivation, you know, that you say, well, you know, because love does something. It will do. You don't even have to try to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're right. Not here trying to pump somebody up, prime somebody up. They come to see something all of a sudden. Wow. You know, and they're not doing something to get something.
Sure.
They've already got it. And so they're just out declaring what they have. Not
right.
Try to get something out of God in an external realm anymore.
Christ is his only effect. Christ is the effect. That
Amen.
I'm saying this: we try to give him some type of effect, some type of evidence, some type of this
right.
or that. He's his own evidence.
Mm-hmm.
He brings about his own effect, and it's not up to us to question or to try to rack our brain of what that's going to look like. Or anything. In fact, it may not look like anything. And I've told people
Amen.
This. How did it look with Paul? How did it look? How did the life of Christ look? How did all these things look with Paul? How did Christ revealed in him? What did that look like with Paul? Well, it looked like Paul making tents. It looked like Paul sitting in prison. It looked like Paul making trips to the church and writing letters. It looked like whatever. Because the whatever was not what did it. Christ was his own effect in the life of Paul. And whatever he did in the acknowledgement of that.
Amen.
And that's what you're talking about. The other is mainly ignorance. It's like you were quoting out of Ephesians 4. He talks about not walking as other Gentiles walk. Okay, how does he address that? Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and the darkness of their own heart. That is the way most of us still live. There is a life that's present within us, and within that life is embodied everything of spiritual reality, everything of fullness, and being ignorant of that life that is present, we do whatever religion or whatever our brains tell us is effective to try to produce or try to do what already he is in us. Why? Not because he hasn't done his part and brought about all fullness. Not because we don't have all spiritual blessings, but because we're as ignorant as can be with regard to that is already present.
Amen. And Raven, my experience continues to be, that God wants me to see him revealed in me, just to look at the Son, keep finding my rest, I find the rest that I have by seeing him
yeah.
constantly,
yeah.
not looking on the externals any more for that,
right.
You know, and saying, okay, God loves me because this happened, you know, or God doesn't love me because that happened, you know, and we look at happenings and making that our relationship with God,
right.
And people over the pulpit, and you've turned me on to some of those people or showed me them. It's just pathetic, you know, repeat after me.
Yeah.
I want more stuff, you know, and, you know, it gets really pathetic because the external becomes your relationship with God. And yeah. Boy, that is a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And, or become some standard, you know, and some people can meet the standard and kind of get comfortable. Others, they just fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you either get self-righteous, and we've talked about this, or you wind up under self-condemnation. And neither one of them, you know, it's just a deception. And so what I'm just, you know, just basically want to get here, that the purpose of God is rest for your soul. You find in that rest. Now, if you haven't received that rest, well, come to it or been given it, then you need to come to him to receive that.
Yeah.
Receive him and come to, he will rest you, meaning he will give you a perfect relationship with God right now.
Right.
In a twinkling of an eye, boom, the relationship is perfect.
Yes, it
is. You enter into his death, burial, and resurrection, because that's Romans 6. If you've been saved, if you've come to Jesus, man, are you ignorant? Paul's talking about ignorance there. Just being ignorant. Man, no, you came, you were buried with him by baptism, you know, and all this, and raised with him. And now he concludes all that. Hey, therefore, because Christ is your life with God now, reckon yourself or know yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus. Well, your relationship with God is now totally Christ, who's dead unto sin and alive unto God.
Yeah.
And but that's right from the get-go. And our walk in Christ is nothing less than, you know, seeing the rest that we've been given.
Sure.
And so, and that's all about knowing him.
Yep.
But there's a purpose in knowing him. And that's what I want to just say here. There's a purpose in knowing him. It's just not gathering a bunch of facts and figures and counting numbers of people who are attending and not attending, and, you know, measuring yourself up with somebody else, or, you know, having some kind of an agenda, or just, you know, I know this much about God. No, no, no. It's about true, real reality rest for your soul, where, my Lord, you've experienced love.
Right.
You're not just hearing the word. No. That word is in you is love, where, my Lord, it's not I, but Christ. And, man, you can't shake me out of that because it is love.
Yeah.
I mean, you can walk away from a lot of things, Raven. You can walk away from this, you can walk away from that, but I can't walk away from love.
Right.
And seeing my whole thing is all of a sudden, okay, this is it. Paul says, okay, I've had a head-on collision with love here. I was looking for love in the old covenant, then finally love came. This one came.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I have found love. What is that, Paul? Not I, but Christ. Man, the fulfillment came where God knows us by his son, man.
Yep.
All the Old Testament exploded in him. When he saw that, Israel is my son. Oh, man, you know, and I see that, you know, when God revealed his son in him, part of that deal where I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. My Lord, I can't even tell.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, he said, I knew a man. All of a sudden, he was just seeing the son.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what God sees. And he's caught up with a relationship with God that just blew him totally away, where it wasn't him but Christ. My, how wonderful can you get here?
That's great.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you know, take me out, bring him in. Shucks, man. You talk about absolute certainty. Now you've done it. When you got me out and He's there as the only one and only. You that cometh in by the door, all of a sudden God knows you only by the shepherd of the sheep.
Yep.
You know, and just as other little ones, you humble yourself and you come by this door, my Lord, all of a sudden it's the greatest now. You can't get no greater because your relationship with God has become another person. My Lord now. But this is not just a guy that's on the street holding up a sign, work for food. No, he's the guy who created the whole thing, man. I kind of bring that thing out because we can almost bring it down to that
we
level,
do.
Man.
Absolutely.
We've got a relationship with God. You know, I'll work for, you know.
I'll do whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do whatever, you know. But, see, I mean, I just kind of get, I get a little frustrated because it's so great.
Yeah.
Just the beginning of this is so great.
Sure.
And then the reality of the beginning. And where God only knows you by the beginning now.
Yep.
See, that's a deal that Christ knew, he knew you and I and himself before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
I mean, when you talk about Christ, the beginning and the end of this, you know, and that's what come in John 15. He says, you've been with me from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he didn't see anything else but himself. It's your relationship, his relationship with God, you know, and looking at you. He doesn't remember your past. It's
yeah.
not a remembrance of what you did. You just don't exist there anymore with a past.
And that's the whole thing. What we're talking about here is reality and the realization of that reality. And those are the things, the reality is there the moment we're born again. When we come to be born again, it's there, fully, completely. And let's revert, go right back just for a second to this verse that you read, that you should seem to have come short of it.
Amen.
In Hebrews 4.
There you go.
And like you said, that is the thing he's combating here in the whole letter to the Hebrews, is an assumption on their part. And that's what it is. The word of seeming seems or seemed to have come. It's an assumption that they held to. Why? Because although the transition from first to second, from natural to spirit, from me to Christ had already taken place, they had not yet known it, experienced it. So in their heart, there was still this seeming lack or this assumed missing of something that we had come short, seemed to have come short of entering his rest. I mean, that goes from one thing to the other. It goes from many different things. That's why Christianity is so full of different methods and different ways. And so this person, like you were saying, this group has their own definition of how you get a personal relationship with God and how you keep it. This one does, and it's all based on all these different things. And it's all stemmed from this seeming to have come short.
Amen.
This seeming to have come short of God's rest. And the answer is never, oh man, we better do this or do that. It's all about faith or no faith. And it goes right back to Hebrews chapter 2. It's either you see man and how he falls short, or you see Jesus. And that's unbelief or faith. That's the difference. Seeing you or seeing him. That's the difference between faith and disbelief. And that's when the assumption of lack and missing or coming short is remedied. The moment you see the one who's the goal.
Amen.
The one who's the end of the matter. The one who is God's rest, fully achieved. And you see him as your own life and your only life, your only relationship to God. And that's a settled matter. And that doesn't leave you in limbo.
Amen.
You don't have to fix that. I mean, there's nothing to fix there. And there's... So then you don't have all of this stuff that Hebrews deals with. You don't have to go back to sacrifices, offerings. You don't have to go back to types and shadows, those evidences that you think are real because you can see them, or the proofs that you think are there because they're external. No, you've got rest now. You're seeing reality as it truly is, not the way you've assumed it to be.
Amen.
And that's what God is desiring to show us.
Amen. And seeing the whole, the Spirit. Let's look at this in Romans 8.
Okay.
Raven, let's just look at this in Romans 8 real quick here. See, this, you say, well, what, you know, what's the Spirit after here? Romans 8 and let's say verse 26. Let's see if I find it here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Well, the infirmity here is that I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing reality. There's my infirmity. I am not seeing reality.
Yeah.
I'm not knowing as I am known of God.
Mm-hmm.
We are not knowing as we are known of God. That's our infirmity here.
Right.
And Paul deals with that infirmity over and over and over. I mean, it's that's the condition that he prays about. You know, I'm praying that God would give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And here we have the Spirit, you know, also helpeth our, for we knoweth not what we should pray for as we ought. And that is the word, the confusion thing. We don't even have a world. We don't even know what the problem is.
Right.
So, I mean, when you start travailing in the Spirit, man, you know, God's praying according to Christ in you. He's not praying according to get Christ in you, or you know what I mean?
Right.
He's not praying that you this situation might work out, or this one, you know, this all this other external stuff. This is an eternal matter of God wanting to reveal His Son in us,
mm-hmm.
so that we can go from uncertainty and to suppositions to reality. And it goes here and it says this. It says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions with us with groanings which cannot be uttered, has to be revealed. And that he searcheth the heart, he that searcheth knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we are with the will of God. And the will of God here is what I'm talking about as far as purpose goes.
Yeah.
Purpose, will of, rest for your soul, you know, that you would come to rest, come to the rest that you had since you were born again, that you would experience that. That rest is God is realizing it because Christ is in us. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good that love to them that love God, that are called according to this purpose. It's all here. This is the purpose. And here comes, you know, where he wants to take us by the revealing of his Son. And whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and to whom he justified, them he also glorified. All of a sudden, he's talking about a not I but Christ relationship with God here.
Right.
That you would come to what love is all about, the way God sees you,
yeah.
not the way you imagine yourself to be.
Exactly.
You know, this is Christ in you, as made unto you what you can't be here, glorified. God, all we come to, it's already a done deal. Total perfect relationship with God in this person that he placed us in,
yeah.
and the person that's in us. And so this is what the Lord is, you know, and then you can say here, everything just becomes, this is all positive, positive, positive at the revealing of Christ in you. What shall we say to these things? You know what I mean? If it's to this extreme, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if your relationship with God is not I but Christ anymore, then what in the world can, and you're talking about the whole armor of God. I mean, who's going to come against that?
Right. Exactly.
You know, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? And this goes with 1 Corinthians 1:30, where
yep.
of God are you in Christ, who yep. is made unto you all things.
It's the free gift of grace. Yeah.
Oh man, it's just it's all. But see, this is all in the unseen realm. And see, since you can't see it, you have to depend. You have to humble yourself and say, God, reveal your son in me, or else I just don't know my salvation.
Right.
I just don't know how I am known. I am in the dark, and I'm confused. I need to see who you're seeing.
Right.
Because yes. evidently, after so long a time, it came to me, even more so sometimes since I've even seen, I've began to see that this relationship that God had started with wasn't based on me. It was based on Christ in me.
Yep.
You know, he said, now, gosh, you know, this thing's got to be related to somebody else other than me, because if it was me, this thing would have been over with the first 2 weeks I was saved.
Yeah, you know, exactly right.
I mean,
you lasted 2 weeks. You must be a saint or something.
I lasted 2 weeks. I mean, it was down to two. Right when I got a hold of it. but here it is, Raven. You know, you're talking 42 years down the road, and this is like a brand new thing to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, wow, you know, well, I guess 45 years I've been saved. Hey, you know, this is some kind of trip.
Yeah.
It started out with Christ, and it stays Christ.
Yeah.
It never has ever changed as far as God was concerned.
No.
But for I was concerned, all these situations that come and go, I thought it changed. But to my amazement, it had never changed.
No.
He remained faithful. And but see, all of this here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God? It is God that justifies. See, it's all on God's end here.
Yes, right.
See, it's God's personal. I just keep going back to that, because they got to get away from this personal relationship with God business. Because, man, that is, you might as well be playing Russian roulette or go down to Las Vegas, because that relationship is unstable. And
yeah.
that's a relationship of a child.
It is.
You know, somebody who's, you know, when the wind blows, he's going to be tossed to and fro.
That's what we want in that, in the flesh, especially religiously motivated flesh. We want our relationship with God because we have control there. But see, God never said that we were called into fellowship with his son, or we were called into fellowship with God. We were called into the fellowship of the son, meaning,
amen,
we don't have a fellowship other than the one he is with God. That's
amen.
It. That's it. We've never had a relationship with God of our own. Now, yes, it is an inwardly acknowledged one. We have to each have the experience of that relationship. Absolutely. But we are not the basis of it, and we are not the measure of it. He is. And that's why,
amen,
it's so concrete and so real. If it was us having a relationship with God, there would be nothing concrete, real, or absolute about it.
Yeah, and see, and I think you've shared on this, you know, people come up with once saved, always saved, and, mm-hmm, you know, now, you know, what eternal life is and everything else. But, you know, but the reality, if you're born again, is not a definition.
Right.
It's a person that actually lives in you, the very Son of God,
yep,
who you read about went to the cross for the purpose of coming into your soul so that he, you see, God just wasn't satisfied with an external relationship with you and I, because he couldn't bring our soul to rest there. He had to come in. And when he went to the cross, he went for that purpose from the outside to the inside. And from then on, it's always inside.
Yes.
It never is external. And Paul will go on and talk about that here. And he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. It's everything's on his side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, see, here comes, and now all these external things are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And he names so many of them here, of which he's experienced that I haven't experienced.
Right.
I haven't experienced, you know, peril, you know, sword and nakedness and famine. I haven't hit that place. But he did. And all kinds of external things that if his relationship would have been external, if his relationship would have been external, it would have, he would have been a goner.
Right.
See, he would have been a goner. There's no way. And so he's saying, this is an internal thing, and it's so internal. I'm just going to summarize this, Raven, that
okay.
Nothing from the outside can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ.
Absolutely.
Nothing can. And it might say that it has, but that doesn't mean it's so.
No.
He still abideth faithful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I mean, but the whole thing is all about the love of God in Christ. That love where it's not I but Christ. That love that's shed abroad in our hearts by where Christ is saying to you're learning him, hey, your relationship with God is totally not you.
That's right.
It's me.
Yep.
And he'll say that if you've heard him and you've learned of him as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust of trying to be like Jesus.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God,
trying
yeah.
to put off an external relationship with God.
Yeah.
And put on and look to and find that your relationship with God is, you know, the new man, Christ yeah. in you, you know, who's made in true righteousness and holiness.
Yes.
You know, and this is your relationship with God. If you've heard him and you've been taught of him, it will always come to that. You know, you hear man? No, no, no. It won't come to that. It won't come to not I but Christ.
No.
Well, he will say, not I but Christ, but.
But, yeah, there's always that.
There's a but there. That there's something more than your relationship with Christ, and it's on you.
Yeah.
And there's no rest for your soul there. And then all of a sudden, you know, to me, God's going to have to deal with that because he's interested in you finding rest totally apart from yourself and everybody else.
Well, I make this point in the book. If God is not completely at rest and satisfied, how can we ever hope to be? You know what I'm saying? And that's what,
amen.
If God is still looking at me and you and saying, I hope they finally get there because I'm really putting everything that I want, I'm really just laying it on John to accomplish it. I'm really hoping that he'll finally get this done for me so I can finally be satisfied. If that was God's approach and God's true perspective, we are a miserable group of folk because that's never going to happen. God is always going to be looking for, waiting for, hoping it happens and it never will. No, he took matters in his own hands, swore by his own self and fulfilled his own purpose and will. He brought about in the person of his son, his own eternal pleasure and delight. And he is at rest, just like with the creation. And he saw that it was good and he rested. When he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, he rests from his labors and says, this is the one in whom I will rest and find my rest forever. That's it. Now, what about us? He's in you. And God desires to show him to you. He desires to reveal that one in you. That is his delight and pleasure forever. That is his place that he has written his name and found his rest.
Amen.
And it's this is how great, and this is why nothing can separate us from it. This is why no height, depth, death, life, nothing. Because it's not us, but Christ.
Amen. It's him. See, I attach this word to just what you said just now. I attach this word to it. You know, when people say, well, what about us? Well, Christ is in us, and that means rest for your soul, man.
That's right.
You dig it?
Yep.
You dig what we're talking about here?
Yep.
This is a perfect relationship with God, whether you preach or not, whether you teach or not,
yep,
whether you do this or not, or you do that or not, whether, you know, all these other factors, you know, they'll work its way. First of all, it's rest for your soul, and out of that comes everything God wants. You talk about, well, purpose of God is the highly exalted Son. Well, he does that.
Yeah.
This is what I'm after here, Raven, on this little talk, and you can shut me down and say, John, you're stupid, whatever. But I don't. But I just want to say this, because I say this in front of you and all whoever he listens, because I'm pushing this to an end.
Yeah.
As far as the purpose of God is rest for your soul.
Yes.
Now, Jesus, when he says come and learn, both of those are attached to that.
Yes.
And if you want rest for your soul, then this is what it means to come to him. This is what it means to have Christ revealed in you. It's not going to give you a better ministry.
Right.
You know, or, you know, we're all going to win the world for Jesus. Yeah, we'll share this. I do. I believe that, hey, when I saw this, well, I kind of became like Paul in a way. I'm a debtor. I hit love, so I want to share love.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Love kind of decides, you know, love is that way. If you have love, you'll have to share it.
Yes.
So Paul says, I'm a debtor to this, to the Jew and the Greek and this, because I hit love. I know what love is. And so I'm going to share what love is. And it's the person of Christ, you know, in you.
Yep.
And he keeps going. He's a broken record. He's worse than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm about the most brokenest record that I can think of when it comes to saying this, you know, over and over again. But I'm saying, guys, let's just get it down to, yeah, what's in it for me? This is rest for your soul, man.
Yeah, this is it.
And it's rest for your family. It's rest for your friends. It's rest where you cease from striving.
Yeah.
You don't have to strive no more. And you were mentioning that in Hebrews 16:6. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife.
Amen to that.
You see?
That's it.
We're Christians to stop striving, man. You know, because this is way beyond us. You know, God put us totally in the realm of his Son. And, you know, by two immutable things, one that God made an oath and he could swear by no greater, you know, and the other thing is the fact that he could not lie.
Yeah.
And to give us strong consolation, hope, and an anchor for our soul.
Yeah.
Rest.
That's it. The anchor for the soul. That's what it's about.
Rest for your soul. So,
and that's who Christ is.
He rests you, and he just reveals himself as that rest. As rest meaning relationship independent of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's
he took you upon himself, man.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, go ahead. You keep going.
Well, I just wanted to say, I say independent of you, because when you came to him, the whole thing became independent of you.
Sure.
You enter into his taking you upon himself.
Yeah.
Bringing you into his death to sin.
Yeah.
Bringing you into his life with God. You know what I mean? Everything from then on is totally him and his.
Yeah.
Not me and mine. And it's the end of all strife as far as, you know, if all of a sudden your relationship with God isn't even your personal one, it's Him.
It's the person.
It's the
Himself.
Person. Yeah. And it's God's person.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's, I have to keep going to that. This is God's personal relationship with us. And therefore, it's all the same. And it stays the same. And there's no greater and no lesser and no nothing like that. And that's how come God could, and Paul always looked at that when he started off an epistle. Because he's always looking at them in the person of Christ. And he's saying, no matter how bad they are in Galatians, grace be to you in peace. Yes. You know, he'll go that way.
Sure.
You know, eventually he'll say something along those lines. You know, that, but then he comes along and says, man, you're not seeing yourself the way God is, and this is troubling.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Raven, I guess, you know, we could go on, but.
Well, we've gone a good while this time. We'll have to pick this up in the next one. But because there will be next ones, we all know that, but I love what you're saying here. And here's the verse that most people don't look at when it's coming to love, but this is exactly what it is. And it goes back to what you were saying. He prefaces all of this with coming to me, I'll give rest to your soul with all things are given unto me of my Father.
Amen.
And that's the whole point. Our striving and labor in religion is most of the time to try to get God to give us something or make us something. When the whole thrust of what Jesus is saying there and the invitation to come and to know him and the resting that he brings about,
amen,
is to come and know the one unto whom the Father has bestowed all things. And who would be in your soul the bestowal of all things.
Amen.
Because of his fullness have you received, and in him dwells the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And amen. That's the love of God. That's the rest, knowing that his sufficiency is sufficient. That the grace of God that has been bestowed is sufficient. And here's the verse with the love of God in it. I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's it. That's the love of God in a nutshell. It is Christ and Christ alone made unto me all things.
Amen.
Thank God for that rest.
Thank God.
And the Spirit of God is in us that we may know that rest, experience it, and know it as, not only in, but as
that's
the
right.
very person of our salvation, the person of Christ himself. Thanks, John. Appreciate you being with us, man. We always enjoy it. I saw Charlene in the background there. Tell her hello.
I will.
Guys, I appreciate you guys being with us. I'm talking to you who are listening. This is our delight to do this, to sit and share this unsearchable wealth of the person of our salvation. We know he's the only answer, and we don't attempt to give any other. We're not giving you instructions on how to do it, how to live it, how to produce it. We're telling you that God's already given the soul everything that the soul was created for. And we invite you, just as the Spirit is continually inviting the soul to come and see this man, to come and know this rest, to come and experience the love of God in its perfect and full measure, to see his Son as all things in you. So that invitation stands, and we pray that you will take us up on it and go before the Father and ask him to show you the Son who is in you, to reveal the life that he has given And in that life, you will know, as Paul says, the wealth and fullness and treasures in that son, as that son. You will see it, the full measure of his wealth and riches. This is what John was reading a while ago. Will God not, who hath bestowed his son, given his son, will he withhold that son and not with him give us all things? Yes, he has given us all things in that son. The answer is absolutely, he has given us all things in that son. And we invite you to come and see him, to know him, to lay hold of him as the only true goal, as the only goal there is, as the only thing that God finds his pleasure in. Thanks again for being with us, guys. And we appreciate your feedback on this. And we pray, as we always do, that the Father would unveil our hearts and enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may know the greatness of our great salvation. Amen.